This is Back to Devi, a show brought to you by Campus to Canton. This podcast specializes in collegiate football players and their potential for future fantasy success in the NFL. I'm your host, Mike V. This is my co-host, Corey P. And we're talking about the combine and the results of the combine. So a little bit of reactions here. These guys are still, you know, not yet in the NFL. So they're kind of teetering on the edge of Devi profile slash, you know, NFL profile. So we're still talking about them. But first, Corey with the news.
Yeah, and March is here, so that means that we have spring practices underway now. And a few tidbits that have kind of dropped throughout the week here with a couple teams starting. Starting over at Clemson, where wide receiver Tyler Brown, he's not going to be practicing this spring while he recovers from a foot surgery that he had this offseason. So don't expect to see much of him. And honestly, there wasn't much pieces of Clemson news that I read that didn't mention Adam Randall looking really good this past week. But we've been here before, obviously. This is a guy who looks really good in practice, probably with his physical makeup and his speed and everything. But he's really had a slow rebuild back from that ACL injury that he suffered. But I don't think it's going to take very long for me to get sucked back in. So a couple more pieces like this, and I'm going to get sucked back in again. I know I am. Over at Auburn, we also have some freshman news with Cam Coleman, a five-star freshman over there. Number two ranked wide receiver across most services. He's standing out pretty early. Their other top-ranked wide receiver, Perry Thompson, he's not going to be there until the summer, so nothing on him yet. But Coleman is apparently looking, quote-unquote, different. And Hugh Free says that we should expect to see him pretty early and often this season. In other freshman news, we also have Miami wide receiver Josiah Trader making some waves early. But the MVP of practice one was apparently second-year wide receiver Nathaniel Joseph, a speedy, smaller guy, is able to hit some of those year 1-0 thresholds as a freshman, apparently working in with the starters as well. So potentially a name to watch out for there. And another tidbit with Miami, second-year running back Mark Fletcher, he's out for the spring while he recovers from that foot injury he suffered late last year. But running back Trevante Citizen is apparently all systems go entering the spring. He's finally healthy enough to be fully practicing, although there was no word on who was taking RB1 reps. Only through day one, though. They only practiced one day that we know of so far. So we're going to be seeing a lot more teams start spring practice this week. Cincinnati's going to start. Miami's going to start. Or they already started. Pittsburgh, Alabama, Kansas State are the team back to Devi. They're going to start this week. LSU, Oregon State, Arkansas, Florida, Notre Dame, all set to start by the end of this week. So we should have some more news dropping, some more weight updates to give you guys as that progresses throughout the week. But guys, be sure to head over to the website at campus2canton.com where you can become a member with one of our many subscription options, some of which include access to our draft guides. Speaking of which, that supplemental draft guide just dropped on March 1st. So you can go there and purchase that. That'll give you the most in-depth look at the freshmen in this class and a couple of supplemental names that you need to be keeping an eye on for your supplemental drafts during the C2C season as well. You're also going to get our one-of-a-kind CFF projections, our advanced metric tools, the C2C winning edge. That thing's going to keep you up to date on all the school depth charts, returning production, the transfer portal movements, probably one of the best cheat sheets for your upcoming drafts this offseason. So make sure you guys are checking out our family of podcasts and the YouTube channel to help guide you guys through the offseason.
All right, guys, you know we're partnership with Home Field Apparel. It is your athletic retro gear, kind of just, you know, whatever your favorite school is. They got it. Like Colorado School of Miners, they got shirts for that. And we have a promo code for you, 15% off. That's 15% off your first purchase with the promo code Campus, the number 2 Canton. That's for getting your shirts from Home Field Apparel. Again, that's your vintage retro gear. So, like, your logos from, like, 1970s. Anytime, anybody that wants to, like, go back and fantasize about, like, yeah, we had a pretty cool school logo back in 1980, you can go ahead and grab that shirt. Corey, let's get into our player profiles here. We're doing running backs to start off. We went a little bit deeper since we're talking about a lot of guys. We want to talk about guys we probably won't be talking much about later. So, anyway, the running backs we're going to be talking about is Jalen Wright and Ray Davis. And we will be obviously starting off with Ray Davis because Kentucky's always on top. Just a fact. 5'10", 216. Oh, wait, he shaved weight, didn't he, for the combine?
He did. He was down to 211 at the combine.
Getting skinny.
Which, I mean, probably to try to increase his testing, which, I mean, obviously, we'll get into that a little bit later, but how he tested. But, yeah, came in at 211. I do expect his playing weight to probably be more about, like, 215 plus.
Yeah, back up there. Yeah. So on the season, 197 carries for 1,131 yards and 14 touchdowns. That's 5.7 yards per carry in the SEC. He also caught 32 of his 39 targets for 324 yards. Fun stat for everybody. Corey loves fun stats. Everyone loves fun stats. He had 16 rushing attempts over 15 yards, and six of those came against Florida. My biggest dink on his profile, and probably why he lost weight for the combine, was that he doesn't really have that breakaway speed. That's always kind of what people talk about when his biggest flaw is profile. He just doesn't have burners. He's just not that fast. Had a great day against Florida, but if you take away that game of Florida, the mediocre profile for long runs looks way worse. So I just don't think that's part of his game, although he was very impressive at the Senior Bowl as a pass catcher. Went handed grabs, great routes, good hands. Like, wasn't double catching. A lot of running backs be double catching, like a lot of them do. So he looked like a very solid change of pace back that isn't a zero in the run game, but I just wouldn't count on him to be running, like, I don't know, 10 attempts a game. It's probably on the very, very high side. So I think he's more of a change of pace back to the NFL, but I started change of pace back. And I do have some insider info that we are expecting him to go in the fourth round.
Oh, so you're thinking about him more as like a 1A of a backfield in a sense, but still like in a split kind of thing.
Like a 1B.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he'd ever be a 1A.
I thought that when I looked at him, he was more of like one of the well-rounded running backs. Like, it's not exactly rankings, but when I did grade him out, he did come out as my RB3. And I think that I gave him a lot of credit for like his overall game. And I maybe thought he was maybe going to be a little more athletic than how he tested. He kind of seems like a jitterbug sometimes. Like, there's some fast footwork there. He cuts pretty efficiently. Like, even though he's not the most athletic guy, like, I feel like I see some pretty good movement skills from him. I mean, if anybody who's been following his career for a long time, I mean, you go back all the way back to Temple, you know, people were calling him like the human joystick, and he was very good in open field over there. And I don't know. He suffered an ACL injury like his second year or something like that, or the first year he transferred to Vanderbilt, which I think was the start of his third season, and he suffered the ACL there. And I don't know if he's ever really returned to that form that we saw early at Temple. You know, even that season at Vanderbilt, which is very good, over 1,000 yards, this is only a 4.5 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns. Like, it was a lot of like volume based racking up stats, and you really didn't see like that wiggle from him. You really didn't see like that lateral movement from him that we saw kind of this year at Kentucky. And this is another one of those stories that we talk about with the ACL. The further you get away from that ACL, the better these guys start to look. And I think Ray Davis was actually an example of that this past year. And I thought he looked good, like in an overall game. I don't think that he necessarily carries the power of like your old Kentucky running backs, like your Chris Rodriguez or your who's your other guy before Chris Rodriguez?
Benny Snell.
Yeah, like, I don't think he carries that type of power to his game. He is more like of a finesse running back, I feel like, or at least closer to it. But I mean, PFF did credit him with like 3.5 yards after contact, so he's not a complete zero in that aspect as well. But like you said, the receiving game, I think this year was where he took the biggest strides for me as well. You know, just over 300 receiving yards on the season. And he wasn't necessarily just running routes, like just straight out of the backfield. There was some like downfield stuff. And even you were talking about that we saw at the Senior Bowl. So there's parts to his game that I feel like are pretty well-rounded. And like, I feel like I could view him as someone who could start somewhere in the NFL somewhere down the line. And like, maybe I'm viewing him as less of a change of pace back than you are. Okay. I feel like he could maybe handle a big workload, depending on how that knee looks. I mean, we haven't heard anything about medicals, and apparently, you know, all medicals checked out fine until this point. We haven't really had anything leak out yet. But to me, I think there's a little bit more to his game there. And I still think he's going to grade out as a top five running back for me in this class.
I think he's right there too for me in the end. Let me see this. RB4,
yeah. See, so there you go. Yeah. I think, you know, I think that also speaks to like the depth of this class and like how we feel about this class overall to have him. Like, I don't think he'd be top five running back in like a different classes that we've graded in the past.
Yeah, I mean,
for now, he's at least up there for at least his kind of all around game. I almost hate doing that sometimes because it always makes me think of like Isaiah Spiller, who I gave a lot of credit for being like a very all around good back, but maybe not elite in any one area. And that's like, that's one thing that scares me about his profile. But, you know, just given this class, I like a lot of the things he brings.
I feel confident on like maybe six, maybe seven guys in this draft class having a place in the NFL. I just don't feel confident that they have like they'll have the workload that we want as fantasy players. And Ray Davis is definitely in that boat. So you think he can lead a backfield though? I think he's like a change of pace, or like if the main guy gets hurt, I feel great putting him in my lineup type of thing.
Yeah, I think if he gets an opportunity to, like, I don't think he's going to be walking into any situation where it's like, oh, this guy's the best. He might need some injuries in front of him or something. But I think if he got his shot, I think he has the size and I think he has the receiving skills to handle a pretty heavy workload. Like, I could see him being like a 60% workload guy at the next
level. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that if he steps in. So that's cool. Let's we want to go over to our next guy here, Jalen Wright.
Let's do it.
6'2", 210. 5'11", 210. Excuse me. Anyway, 136 carries for 1,010 yards and four touchdowns total. That's 7.4 yards per carry. On the receiving end, he caught 22 of his 25 targets for 141 yards. This dude's all about speed. And me and Corey are going to go over our betting here pretty soon from last week. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what, I was a little bit dishonest here. I knew Jalen Wright was going to run a low 4.3 because he had a core injury, which is why he missed the Senior Bowl. And I was like, well, he's not training. There's no way you can't not train and get a low 4.3, even if he is really fast. So anyway, speed's his game to me. He's all about speed. Faced a lot of light boxes for me on offense. It's just the offensive scheme for Tennessee. So I really thought like, I thought him getting to the second level pretty easy, like not because of his doing, but more because of offensive play calling. And once he did get to the second level, I thought he had pretty decent contact balance. I don't like, which is weird because he's one of the most upright runners I've seen in this class, like hands down, one of the most upright runners, but was very good at like not getting like his ankles wrapped up. So like that's his type of contact balance. He's not bouncing off dudes. He's just good at not getting those legs wrapped up. So, I don't have much to say. I really don't.
Well, I read a comp recently that someone actually compared him to Tevin Coleman. And I actually like don't hate that comparison completely because he's a guy that I think had, you know, a very good straight line speed guy, good burst, good athleticism. And like we'll get into that a little bit later as we get into the combine testing that he did because he really blew it out of the park. But sometimes I don't feel like I see like that much wiggle on the next level, like stacking moves together, like stringing these moves together and keeping his speed. Like, I don't feel like you don't see that as much. And like, to your credit, you were talking about the contact balance. PFF awarded him 4.35 yards after contact, which is actually pretty surprising at his frame, but you do see him pull through contact a lot. But like you were saying, there were so many light boxes in his film, like so many, like facing three down linemen, facing a very wide forefront, like, And then hit the wide receiver so spread out that everybody on the second level of defense is super spread out as well. So he's getting past that first line of defense really well. So even like those after the contact numbers, sometimes like you could also say he's missing some context because he's not bowling through like that first line of contact a lot. Like,
his defender is taking off these terrible angles. He had tackles on him and they just can't.
Which I will give him credit for though, that he can sometimes create those angles because he's so fast, because he can burst in a certain way, like whatever. I will give him that. And he was a big play threat. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games over 100 yards, 7.4 yards per carry. Like he was a big play threat. And we've talked about him before that we always kind of thought he was more of like a change of pace back. And he didn't really show like that receiving profile to kind of be like more relied on in that sense, like 6 catches his first season, 2 catches next season. Then he finally caught 22 balls this season. So at least showed that he wasn't a total liability in that aspect, but still not like a super, super strong part of his game. So he kind of fits this weird mold where I think Tevin Coleman actually suits him very well. Someone who could be like a 1B in off, like we saw him the way he worked with Devontae Freeman. He also caught a lot of passes in that role as well. Was a big play guy, but again, not a guy who like really lasted that long in the league. His game was more relied upon speed. I just think Jalen Wright's going to have a bigger transition when he gets to the next level than most people expect because he was facing so many light boxes, because he's, you know, was reliant on that athleticism. And once he gets to the next level, all that athleticism is going to be met with equal athleticism, you know, even at the linebacker position that we're seeing now with a lot of these freaks nowadays. So I think his transition will be harder than a lot of people expect, but he could make a lot of flashes in big play regards as that like 1B to get a lot of people excited. So there's going to be, I think, some ups and downs with his fantasy value once it gets to the next level. I could see him flashing and gaining value at times, people being excited for what he's going to be like the next season or something. Like people are excited about Tyjae Spears this year, like come on, get out of here with this ball. But I could see Jalen Wright being that kind of guy who's going to go up and down. There's going to be some sell windows here for Jalen Wright, I think, if you have him or if you're going to draft him or whatever. Like I think there's going to be some sell windows somewhere along the line, but I'm not like super optimistic about his transition. I like the speed. He graded out very highly for me. He graded out as like running back 6. And I know you just joined me in that. I saw your recent updates that you just posted that he's now running back 6 too. So like I'm just super confused with what to do with his profile right now. So I'm going to kind of see where he lands in the NFL draft as well. He did very well for himself at the combine. He should see some pretty good draft capital. Probably one of those backs that might be in contention for a day 2 pick, but likely probably your early day 3 selection.
I do have him as a 4th, 5th round grade for me personally. I feel like ashamed of having him in my RB6. Because like you said, like the route to success just seems an uphill battle. It's very hard. Yeah.
People get enamored with that athleticism, right? And everybody's going to think he's so, like, you cannot tell anybody right now that Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. are not studs at the next level just because of the way they tested. It's almost the same thing with Jalen Wright right now, but it'll calm down a little bit. And I think once people dive into the film a little more, maybe we'll find some more ways to poke. But yeah, the hype is at an all-time high right now.
All right, let's get to our review from our bet last week. Let's just get down the line. Okay, so we start off with a J.J. McCarthy 40. He decided not to run. Shout out to J.J. McCarthy. We knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Blake Corum, 5'7". I stake. Really? I pulled the second mortgage on the house for this bet.
I said you were so sure about this one.
Bro, you see Imani Bailey, he's 5'7". Ray Davis is 5'7" out there, and both those guys look bigger on the field than they do Blake Corum.
Yeah, maybe it's a weird build or something. Maybe he's got like a big torso and like small legs or something. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, just science, dude. Short little arms, you know.
T-Rexing it out there. That's how I got so many bench presses.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he's over 5'7". He's like 5'7" and a half. I think a little bit even taller than that. So I'm just eating it up. Alfred called me up. He told me, look, you can't leave us for Walter Football. We need you. You're too important. So I guess I am rehired.
Yeah.
Trey Benson, 4.45 is a line that we set. First off, also shout out to Prize Picks, who drops lines the same day our episode drops, but 2 days after we recorded this. So that was funny, dude. 4.39 from Trey Benson, dude.
At, pretty like, surprising back time at, there, man. Pretty. I thought I was pretty surprised by. Did you think he was going to hit 4.39?
I heard the whispers. There's one dude that gets on me for these times each year, and he killed me for the Trey Palmer take last year. He killed me for Trey Benson, so I felt confident because I was like, this guy's always cracking me up my 40 times. So I knew I felt a little out of time.
I thought he was going to be like 4.47, 4.48. Like, I thought he'd be somewhere around that area. I didn't know if I saw like the huge, like long speed from him, but yeah, not definitely surprised. And I love it. I love it. Like he graded out as my running back one, which again, just goes to show you as like the class right now, because he's definitely got his issues as well, but everybody in his class has their issues. So just a lot of tools that you can be excited about with him.
All right. We're tied up 1-1 here. We go over to Louisville. Anyway, Jawar Jordan, who I also picked to be my fastest running back.
You got so bad at somebody told you the wrong Louisville name, I think.
And I can't even believe that. I can't believe the small guy turned out to be super slow and the big guy turned out to be super fast. That's just backwards.
Yeah, yeah. I went over on that one. So
yeah, we said at 4.4, and I think you ran like a 4.56. So yeah, which makes Jawar Jordan like automatic UDFA. You can't be that small and run a 4.56.
Yeah.
Jalen Wright, who was Corey's fastest, he ran a 4.38, which was actually the exact line that we set, dude. Isn't that awesome?
We pushed it. Yeah, damn it. I set that line too. I should have set it higher, something lower. I don't know.
I do think what we start out at, like 4.35,
4.4 or something. I don't know, something like that.
All right, Audric Estime, we set at 4.55, and I said, there's no way he's slower than Roshan Johnson, right? He ran a 4.58. So I picked the under, Corey picked the over, and Audrey.
Did he actually run a 4.58? I only saw the first run, which was like 4.72 or something like that. He came in at a 4.58?
No, Roshan did. Audrey ran a 4.72. No,
oh, yeah, it was so bad, yeah. Okay.
It was terrible. You can't be a power back with a slow first step and then run a 4.72.
But which is super weird because he tested, I don't know, we'll get into it anyways, but he tested well in explosion drills, which I wasn't expecting at all, and then suffered in the 40. It was very weird combine for him.
Corey's up 3-1 at this point. Braylon Allen decided not to run. We set it at 4.45. It's actually the same number that Prize Pick set. I was very interested to see him run too because he looks slim down.
Yeah.
So which was pretty exciting for me. But anyway, he did not run, so it was a little upsetting. I wanted to see him do some functional mobility there. Well, he wouldn't have been functional, it would have been more testing related. But I would have liked to see that with his new weight.
Well, do you think that he's like, do you think like this is just a downward trajectory to like Wisconsin's pro day and he's gonna show up like 2.27? And run like a 4.43 or something like that. Like maybe that's what he's planning. Like he's just going to keep shedding until he gets there. You know, like maybe that's kind of the plan.
Is that what he said he's going to do? Is running his pro day?
I guarantee he probably will if he didn't run here. I hope he would. Anyways, I feel like that's a big enough question for him.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Going over to Ray Davis. Over under we said was 4.53, dude, and we nailed it. He ran a 4.52, and I went with a little bit of the over. You went the under. This is a big debate. Corey's now up 4-1. He's up 4-1 on
me. The running backs are good for me. The rest is where I got you.
Wide receivers, baby. Let's go. Yeah. Romo Dunze, we sit at 4-4-3. Kratos was in our minds the whole time, telling us that his son is running a 4-3-4 in the offseason. And he runs a 4-4-7. I said over. Corey said under.
Yeah. Either way, Kratos owes me an apology.
Yeah, he does.
He blocked me, though, so I'll never get one.
Yeah. Troy Franklin, we bet on his weight. 85 pounds was what we put it at. He's listed at 187, and the dude came in at 176. Liar, liar. Skinny jeans are on fire for that dude.
He looks so skinny, too. Like, his legs are just like sticks.
Yeah. So, I'm coming back, baby. It's 4-3. Corey goes over. It's Xavier Worthy. Over under set at 4-3-7, and he goes and breaks the record. I put him down as the under. Corey put him on the over.
I don't know. I was trying to pick a spicy one, I guess. But I should know. I should have went under there, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. We're tied up 4-4, but it's a comeback. Roman Wilson, Corey's guy here. We set at 4-4 flat. Did he run a 4-3-9?
Yes, 4-3-9, I believe. Yeah, just right. Just
Corey put me under for that one. Xavier Leggett, who I thought might run a 4-5-5, and we set it at 4.5, and Corey got it at the under. Did you think he had it in him to run a 4-3-9, 4-4?
I don't know about 4-3-9, but like from our early days of scouting him, when we talked about him, like I said, I did see some juice there. There was juice, and his lower half is just like ridiculous. So you see where like it comes from, but
yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't expecting him to test as well as he did. I'll say that.
Trying to find the exact time. Yeah, 4-3-9. Because him and Aldrick Estime both are guys that I attribute to be build-up speed runners. And so maybe I'm just wrong on Leggett, and he just doesn't have a good release.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway. Corey's back up. What were we at? 6-4?
Something like that, yeah.
2-3-4-5-6-6-4. Okay, then we went to Jalen Polk over under 4-5-5. We kind of nailed that one, too, on the line. We said he ran a 4-5-2. I went the under. Corey went the over because that was his bust pick.
Yep.
6-5. Malachi Corley didn't test. I don't know what's all that about.
I don't get that either. Yeah. Didn't even weigh in or nothing, I don't think.
Good enough to not test. I don't mean to be like insulting, but I don't think he's like a top 50 pick.
And he had the hype, though. He has the hype. Like, there's a lot of people that are talking. Like, Steve Smith called him, like, what, his favorite wide receiver in this draft or whatever. Like, there's hype there. He's top 50 pick in some people's big boards. Like, it was weird. Maybe he's just trying to rest on that. He's like, I'm not going to mess any of this up. I'm not even going to test at all. Like, people love me right now. I'm just going to hold on to it.
Yeah, maybe he just looks at, like, day two draft capital for G5. He's like, dude, I beat the numbers. I shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold on to it. Yeah.
Brock Bauer's height, we said at 6'3". He came in over, so.
Yeah. And that was a point for me. Over. Yeah. So 7-6 overall. And then we gave bonus points for who tanks the combine, which I mean is subjective anyways. That wasn't really a good one. But fastest
we running back. We had to debate that one in the end.
Yeah. So. Fastest running back, fastest wide receiver, fastest tight end. And none of us really hit except for you at the fastest wide receiver. You hit Xavier Worthy, which brings us our total to, well, for the tie, technically, if we want to award you +2, but you picked like the guy who was expected to beat the thing. So
we didn't know that at the time. We didn't know that.
I don't know.
Also, you're like getting you answer came in second, by the way. Anthony Gould was like a 4.37, I think, or 4.38.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what he ran, but I'm willing to say it behind closed doors, but technically, I beat you in this one.
All right, whatever.
Giving you the +2 on the surface here, but you know it's spotty. I think I won this one.
I wanted to ask you this question. I asked it last year too. Do you think the combine's dying? I was reading from the Recover 3 report that less and less NFL coaches attend the combine each year, and I went to go find a news article that actually referenced it, and it was 19 head coaches in attendance. Sean McVay hasn't shown up since 2020. Most of the coaches that aren't going are the ones that are new coaches, and so they're busy setting up their new, you know, their new staff and what they want to do for the offseason. And the other like kind of major group are the guys that are playoff head coaches. This is generally speaking, I didn't really hunt down all the names, but I know like Robert Saleh hasn't been in 2 years either. So I kind of wanted to ask, like, do you think the combine's dying? Do you think that head coaches are just caring less? They're just going back to the tape?
I don't know. I think with the way like technology has come nowadays too, where we're getting like every angle of everything. Everything's televised, like the laser times, like even like how, why does a head coach have to be there to hold a stopwatch to tell, to do it when it, like they've got laser times telling you they can record their interviews personally behind closed doors as well. And they can relook at those interviews. Like, I don't, I just think that there's not a huge amount of need for like the head coaches to be there. If you trust your scouting staff, you trust the people you put in charge to look at that kind of stuff and get the kind of information you need, you can kind of go back and look at it. And like overall with the combine, I just think it's the way it's been televised and the way it's been marketed now, like there's too much money in it for it to be like a dying thing now. And I still think there's good things about it. You know, like the interview process, I'm sure that's a huge thing for a lot of people, having them all in one place, seeing how they react to public speaking, public questions coming at them. The medicals, I think, are a big thing as well. Getting everybody to go and do medicals, depth, you know, all of a sudden this new thing where people are hopping out of that. But, you know, I think the most important thing for the combine, you know, I think it helps like the bottom feeders, like, you know, the top prospects are controlling their narrative more, like Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't even stay for public interviews. He weighed in with like the defensive lines and left. He never even stayed for the rest of the combine. Caleb refused to do medicals. Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, they didn't even get weighed in, although they say they're going to do it at the pro day. But so for the top prospects, I can see it not being that big of a deal anymore. But, you know, for guys like your Ricky Pearsalls, for guys like your Isaac Grendos, you know, this event does a lot more for them than anybody else. So I feel like there's still a lot that goes on with this event that, you know, even the schmoozing from team officials and talking about free agency, talking about trades, talking about, you know, draft stocks, everything. Like, I just think it's too big of an event now, and the way it's been televised and marketed that it's ever going down. I think other teams are resorting to other ways outside of the combine to really analyze their players, but the event itself, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
All right. No, that's a good take. Yeah. That's a good take. I just wanted to ask that. And yeah, you kind of nailed it with the whole, like, they can just videotape in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do we want to list off the top 40s or just tell people to Google them themselves?
You can at least, what you want to, yeah.
That's last year. Let's just talk about it. The top five running back 40s, like the ones that kind of surprised me was Isaac Arendo here, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Jalen Wright, 4.38. We kind of knew he was going to be that fast. Trey Benson surprised us at 4.39. Keelan Robinson, who is a track athlete, you brought up after the show, after the fact.
Yeah.
Was at 4.42. And then the Monmouth running back, Jaden Sheridan, got a 4.45.
Have you watched them at all, Jaden Sheridan?
No, I was about to say that. No, I have not. I don't expect to either. Sometimes people will ask me my grades, like, oh, what do you think about so-and-so? I'm like, I didn't think he was enough for me to even grade. Like, just UDFA, yeah. Like, you know, the top five wide receivers for the 40, Xavier Worthy broke the record with a 4.21. That was pretty awesome. I did not know he had that in him. Brian Thomas, 4.33, who we talked about last week as a guy that had the most to lose because he has a very singular skill set. And this kind of locks it up for him. I'm pretty happy for him.
Yeah.
AD Mitchell, who we talked about, we didn't really see the skill set in him, but a 4.34. I really thought 3.43. Might be a 4.35. I'm not sure if I wrote that down right. But
I think it was 4.35. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Adonai Mitchell, 4.35. Again, a guy we didn't really know he had that level of speed in him. So that was pretty amazing. Devontae Walker, who had a very bad week at the Senior Bowl, getting some back that draft capital. And then Jacob Cowan with a 4.38, who I never thought was a burner myself either. I didn't think he was slow, but I didn't know he was going to be this fast.
Yeah, I don't know. I talked to you about it off screen too, like in our chats. Like this was like one of the fastest wide receiver groups like ever, and it just seems to continually keep getting faster. And they'll do the simulcams and everything and make it look like, you know, they're running. But I, for some reason, sometimes I just question it, man. Like the slowest wide receiver this year was what, a 4.63? That's like got to be one of the highest slow wide receivers in a draft class we've had over like what, the past decade. I always feel like there's 4.7 guys, 4.8 guys. They're like, who's the guy you were saying last year ran like a 4.9 or something like that?
Jake Bobo.
We ran like a 4.9. And you know, I always feel like we have guys like that. It's very weird to see all these juiced up times. But for now, I'm going to take it at face value and just say that these guys are a lot faster than we expected them to be.
The top five tight end 40s, Devin Culp, who I once thought was a Devy value probably about 3 years ago, Washington tight end. Theo Johnson from Penn State, 4.57.
Mm-hmm.
Tanner McLaughlin, who could not – Arizona tight end, who could not go to the Senior Bowl due to injury. Can't remember what the injury was, but he clearly showed up, trained up, 4.61. Jaheim Bell from Florida, 4.61. And then Jerry Wiley from TCU, 4.63.
I think Jaheim Bell is maybe the most – surprising one there. I was hoping that with his size, that he was going to be like a 4.49, 4.51, 4.52. Like, I think that one is slow then. Yeah, I thought he was a little bit slow. Like, I thought he would test a little bit better than that, to be honest with you. But it does kind of put him in this weird tweener range for me. Like, I just don't know how to, like, project him to the next level. You know, is he a jumbo wide receiver? Is he more of, like, your Marcel Reese halfback, fullback, tight end, you know, like, move tight end? Like, I have a hard time seeing where he fits in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think his blocking is very good at all. I think he's one of the worst blocking tight ends. And then as far as, like, his production, mostly comes from screen games. At college, so I don't think it could be anything more in the NFL. I'm more keyed on Theo Johnson. I think Theo Johnson's had probably the best offseason of any tight end.
Yeah.
Definitely made himself some money. It hasn't been used. I feel like the guys at Campus Life talk about him a ton as always a potential breakout type guy. Never happened. And that's just the nature of the tight end position, but
yeah. And he was always a guy that had like a ridiculous athletic profile. Like he almost tested exactly like he tested as a recruit. Like I'm just trying to pull up his testing right now, but yeah, 39.5 inch vert. I think he tested a 39 inch vert as a recruit, 10.5 broad. I don't remember what his broad was, but 7.153 cone, 7.1920, a 4.1920 yard shuttle. So like decent drills, but 4.5 second in the 40, that was down from 4.61 as a recruit. So very good. Like Bill, like, and then he's like 6'6". Like he's just, he has a lot of things going from 260 pounds. Like he's one of these guys that, you know, isn't going to have a lot of production to his profile, but could definitely be one of these guys the next level that's going to surprise us.
Yeah, nailed it here. Let's get over to the just overall, like what performances were stock ups. And we'll start off with the wide receiver group here. I think Xavier Worthy. Both me and you have been fans of Xavier Worthy. The whole company has been fans of Xavier Worthy. Yeah. I think he's kind of a consensus top five for a lot of us that speak too much on Twitter. But I think that's now maybe a consensus opinion. A lot of people were like, I don't get it. I know like PFF had him as like their wide receiver 13, 14 for the longest time. So I had him as a top 50 grade for the longest time. I'm still concerned about his hands, but I think his speed now should almost like be like, all right, we'll fix that. Like NFL teams are gonna look at that and be like, we can fix his hands. And I think he just solidified himself day one draft capital. I really do believe that. Maybe not like early, but I'm talking about like, you know, last 12 picks in the first round.
Yeah, like I think his draft stock could be up. Like maybe he was just like, people were like, is he really gonna run that fast? And he really did run that fast. But like from our perspective, from like our stock, like I don't know if he really helped out his stock. Like, because we knew that he was going to be one of the few legitimate guys to have a chance to be this fast. But then, like, you know, came in at 165, came in 5'11", too. So overall smaller than we expected. And then he just kind of leveled it out with his testing, you know, between, like, the vert and between, like, the fast 40. Like, I just don't think that he's going to climb any higher for me. Or, like maybe he's going to hop Troy Franklin, like, maybe, because I thought he kind of had a thing. But, like, those two are still going to be, like, the same tier for me. So it's like, I don't know if he really did anything to help propel himself any farther for us. I just think he was a stock up, like maybe, I don't know. I have trouble with it. Cause I'm like, were people thinking? What were people thinking coming in that now he's a stock up, that he was going to be slow? Like, I don't know. And he came in so light that of course he was going to try to run that fast. So yeah, it's a weird one for me to kind of label as a stock up, but I get it though. I think he solidified himself some early round capital. If he does become a first round pick, which I think is very in the cards for him now, then, you know, draft capital equals opportunity equals what we spend our picks on. So he's definitely got to be a stock up in that sense.
Ricky Pearsall had a great day. I think Ricky Pearsall did most of the drills, if not all of them, which is very rare.
Like, yeah, he did everything that I can see. 6.643 cone, that's a top 10 number over the last decade for wide receivers. 42-inch vert, that's also a tied for a top 10 number over the past 10 years at wide receiver. Like, just way better just than I expected. 10'9" broad, 4.4140, like, I don't know. Like he's somebody that I need to take a deeper look at, because when I first graded him, he came out outside of my top 12. Grades. And now I think that he's going to be somebody that's probably going to hop in. I think I underrated him on his athleticism. I thought it was like kind of average-ish, but yeah, I think I underrated him on his athleticism for sure. It's going to make me go back and look anyways. Very versatile guy. Like I think he's not just your typical slot white wide receiver that everybody likes to try to say that he is. Like he's a guy who can play outside. He's got the size to move in and inside and out. Like he probably locked up day two with this testing, I think, maybe even round two.
I agree with you there. I already had him as a day two guy, and I always shuffle him, Roman, and Ladd in the same. Like I always shuffle them up. I don't know like which one to put first. And I just want to talk about Ladd too, who's also went with his 4.39 speed. I never saw that speed on tape.
Yeah.
I never did. So like I'm not taking that into account too much. A lot of like comment to me is just confirming priors or just talking about who did worse than what we thought and who did much better than we thought. But like Ladd answered some athleticism comments because I know me personally, I just thought he was a pretty average athlete, but just really refined with his footwork. So that speed is interesting to me. But both these guys, Ricky and Ladd, I'm always shuffling, dude. They're always in that like wide receiver 10 to 12 or 10 to 11, and I'm shuffling the three of them together all the time.
I thought we did a Ladd McConkey 40. We never had that in our over-under. I thought we did. I was scrolling up, but I thought that we had listed down the. Maybe we washed it because we were too close together.
We might have washed it.
Yeah, it might have been washed. But yeah, 4.39 to 40, 36-inch vert, 10-foot, 4-inch broad. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think that was necessarily how Georgia used him either. Like, they didn't ask him to run, like, go routes and, like, see like, the kind of a speed. And to be honest, there is some instances where he did run some slot fades, and there is some instances where he ran some go balls where – like the ball tracking and everything like wasn't really there. And I don't know if that's just because they didn't use him that way. It's not a huge part of his game right now, but that is like one area of concern for him. But I mean, at least we know he has the speed to get behind a defense. I just want to see a little bit more from him, like actually from the catch point, like going up above people. Like he's clearly springy enough. And he's clearly got the speed for it. I just need to see it a little bit more. I think to respect that part of his game a little more.
Yeah. Just because Georgia hasn't used him doesn't mean he doesn't have that tool at his disposal. So maybe, yeah. An NFL OC can find a way to utilize that skill set. It just adds to like his versatility as a player. Like he can do more than just what he was asked at Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
We kind of talked about Tez Walker a little bit in the betting thing. Thought it was a big stock up for him. He was a pretty massive stock down the Senior Bowl. I'm talking about like, oh, I didn't think he was a first round pick, but he was talked about as a first round pick to like, I think if people wanted to say like, oh, he's like a fourth round pick, I wouldn't even argue against that. It was that bad of a performance from the Senior Bowl. But
yeah,
this speed now, at least he can hang his hat on. His agent can be like, look, this is going to be one of the best fuel stretchers. He's got long arms. He's got all these measurables. So I thought this was a massive stock up performance for Tez, getting a little bit back of that draft capital from the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, on top of the 4.3640, 40.5-inch vert, and 11-foot-2-inch broad as well, which, I mean, just shows you the kind of athleticism we saw. And that's really what we've talked about. I mean, this was a guy who hit 23 miles per hour against Georgia while he was playing at Kent State like 2 years ago. So we knew that the athleticism was there. It's just, I think this offseason has brought to light some issues at the catch point, maybe some ball tracking issues, maybe some concentration issues that he's going to have to get figured out. I think more and more, besides the size difference, I think more and more parts of Christian Watson are lining up with how DeVontaeZ Walker is and how they're kind of sharing a lot of similarities. Very like one track or very one-dimensional player a little bit that can be used in different ways but isn't really refined enough to be used in those certain ways. But I think you're going to see a lot of similar usage once he gets into the NFL, you know, end arounds, and you're going to run him on go balls, and you're going to run him on, you know, some deep posts and some fade routes. But it's going to be a while until he's a little bit of a project. I think it's going to be a while until he really becomes like starting material in the NFL.
I almost skipped the name and forgot to go back because I want to talk about Ladd and Ricky together because they're kind of similar positional guys. But Jalen McMillan had a great day too. He also did most of the drills. I know for the 40, he ran a 4.47, which was probably faster than I thought. I think he's a possession guy, a kind of separator, but I didn't think he had that type of speed to him or any kind of speed. He thought he was just an okay athlete. But he was like, what, like top 6-7, everything he did?
Yeah, well, very, very good, just very good all around. Massive mitts on him, too. 10-inch hands, which is like one of the higher sizes for a wide receiver as well. But yeah, 37-inch vert, 10-foot-7 broad. And I mean, it was, like I said, it was a very good class. So he didn't necessarily come like at the top of these, but he was always like, it's a good number given our history that we know at the position. Like he's right in that range. And, you know, I give him like the... Like I said, you know, discount Chris Godwin, but like I, you know, Tyler Boyd has also been one that I've seen floated around that I've kind of attached a little bit to. I think he's in that same sort of spectrum. I think he's probably someone who's going to live in the slot a little bit, but I love seeing this testing from him. Like I just think, and even the size wise, he came in exactly how he was, 6'1", 197 pounds. So he has that build to him as well. Like I thought it was a really good day for him. He locked up like being a sleeper status for me. Like at least, like we don't think he's a sleeper, but at least for everybody else, he showed why I think he's a little bit of a sleeper to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I was a little upset that he didn't go to the Senior Bowl, and I wish I could ever find out why. But I think the obvious answer is just like, you know, he just finished the national championship 2 weeks before the Senior Bowl. Probably want a little bit of a break, and I can't blame him for that.
And there was many, many rumors out there that he was not 100% through their playoff stretch, like that he was not there yet. Like he just wanted to come back because he wanted to be a part of that playoff stretch and the national championship run. But there was a lot of things out there that he was playing at way less than 100%. So maybe there was like some injury recovery there too, that he just didn't want to go straight into the Senior Bowl right after.
Yeah, so I'm about some running backs here. I think maybe the biggest winner of the whole thing was probably Isaac Garendo, running back from Louisville.
Yeah.
Comes out here and runs a 4.33.
Just insane.
That's just amazing. Anyway, 6 foot, 221 pounds. Like, that was just, like, I don't know. I don't like RAS score, but I'm sure that's, like, a 10 out of 10 RAS score type of performance that he put on. What other stuff did he score in? I know he was like top
41.5 inch vert. I think that was close to the top of the class as well. 10'9" yeah. Broad. And then even three cone drill was sub 7 seconds. 20 yard shuttle 4.15 was kind of more around your average range, but he tested very well. I mean, we were saying you picked the wrong Louisville running back, and I don't think any of us expected him to test this well. And I can just hear it now that you're going to hear the comparisons, and not exactly like 100% as a player, even though there are some similarities from what you told me anyways when you kind of dove into his film, that he is kind of like 100 miles per hour kind of guy, like no patience a lot of the time, quick cuts and stuff like that, that he's going to be thought of as the Pacheco of this class. You know, like people are going to start saying that he's Isaiah Pacheco of this class, the late round pick that has all the athletic traits. But I mean, just remember, you guys did that to Denerick Prince last year as well, and that didn't end up doing anything. So I mean, that could still happen with this guy too. I mean, there's a reason he wasn't leading a backfield. There's a reason he hasn't put up the production that we've probably wanted to see over the years. Yes, he's crazy athletic, but there's definitely reasons to be more skeptical of how he projects the NFL besides this athletic testing, which was amazing.
He's a 6 year player. I thought he was all gas, no patience, just kind of bounced around until he found a hole. He is a phenomenal athlete. He's a dude I considered a very easy like UDFA grade. I've seen this athletic testing. Now I'm like, a team's going to take a shot on him late in the third and just put him in camp and see what he does.
Yeah. You mean late day three?
Yes.
Late day three. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes anywhere in day three, just because the underwhelming running back class in general. And then, you know, with his athletic testing, maybe someone's going to be willing to take that shot late in the fourth or something like that. But yeah, I would say that he's probably going to be like a mid to late day three pick. And there's still going to be people spending like, I mean, you could spend your picks on worse things anyways, but he'll probably be a very hot third and fourth round pick in your dynasty draft.
I would do say this to hang my hat on what you said earlier. I think he would be my super late round running back, like sleeper, you know?
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean, I think that's what you aim for, right? When you're late in drafts and running backs, it's like, okay, this guy's got traits. Let's just see if he can get into an NFL training camp, and somebody gets hurt in front of him and he gets an opportunity and blasts off.
He goes to like the Cowboys who don't have Tony Pollard and they just have a bunch of random dudes. And you're like, maybe this one random guy is a little bit more athletic.
Yeah. Get it done. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jalen Wright's our last winner here. Not our last winner, but Jalen Wright. We talked about limited production, right? So those type of guys need to find their way to shine in the offseason. He couldn't go to the Senior Bowl because of his medicals. He had some sort of abdominal issue, but comes out to the combine here. He runs a really fast 40. He does other drills pretty well too. I think this is a stock up for him. He's just a mystery box, but at least people can be like, oh, he's a great athlete though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we went over him pretty heavy in the beginning there. He's obviously a winner here. If anybody had questions about it, I mean, even coming in, you had some questions about it. And I think he answered a lot of questions about that speed. And then we were talking about that's the kind of thing that a running back need to do to separate themselves in this class. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in contention for a day two pick now, but likely early day three, late day two or something like that.
Yeah, some honorable mentions here you want to put down here. Marshawn Lloyd and Jermaine Burton. Marshawn Lloyd was actually much faster than I thought. I probably should have put his name down here. A 4.46, if I'm remembering that right, was his 40. He's been having a good offseason. Went to the Senior Bowl, showed us that he can catch balls, really wasn't used that way downfield for USC. And now he comes here to the combine and just shows us, like, two ACLs, no big deal. Like, I can do all this stuff. I mean, I'm not sure if it's two ACLs. I think it's just one. But anyway,
yeah,
Josie's still a top-tier athlete. So
On top of that, too, showing up at 220 pounds, 3 pounds even heavier than the Senior Bowl, and still testing like that. Like, it makes you wonder what he would have tested if he was like 209 or something like that. But still carrying that speed very well at a 4.46 at 220 pounds, 5.9. Like, that's stout, dude. Like, that's, I'm surprised I don't see more power to his game, like in this thing, but I don't know. He's been on a steady increase with this weight and still carrying it well. So maybe he's adding that dimension to that, to himself for the next level or something like that. But that was probably the most impressive thing to me, was that he carried that at that weight as well. So yeah, just been an upward trajectory for him. He looked really smooth in the pass catching drills as well. Like, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, very, very in love with this guy. Like, you know, like, says he's DeAndre Swift. That's his comparison to him. And talked very affectionately about him during the broadcast. So yeah, I think he's gonna be a riser. Like, we're doing a rookie mock for the company right now. I took him like early second, like 204, I believe. So, yeah, he's one of the running backs I think is going to be a little bit clever. I wouldn't be surprised. I think after grading, he's going to end up as my running back 3.
You put Jermaine Burton here. I need you to spell that one out for me, how he had a good day. Because he was already assumed to be a decent athlete coming in, and I don't know if anything he did beat or disappointed expectations.
I think this is similar to like Xavier Worthy, where we knew what he was going to do when he came into the day, but I don't think he was very like on the, there was nobody talking about Jermaine Burton coming into the combine really. And I mean, lack of inconsistency and a lot of other things going on in his profile that lead to those kind of things. But I mean, 4.45 40 yard dash, 38.54 and 11 and 1 inch broad jump as well. Like, he tested very well athletically, and I just thought he was at least an honorable mention. Came in at a good size too, 6'196", like right around where he was listed. I just think that he met some expectations that we had, but maybe put his name on the map for other people that didn't. Like, you know, late in your drafts, you know, you're in your fourth round, I think he's going to be one of those guys people take a pick on, you know, coming from Alabama and stuff like that. I think he put his name on the map a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'll let that one slide then. He can be in the honorable mentions category.
Yeah, that's it. Just honorable mentions. Okay. It wasn't a huge winner. I just gotta mention him. We gotta give this guy a little bit of love. Okay.
We gotta mention one player that did have an up and down day. Okay. So we kind of wanted to use him to talk about some of our stock downs, but we have to mention what's good first here. Adonai Mitchell from Texas, mm-hmm. former Georgia guy. We should have known Georgia only gets athletes, but he runs like a 4.34 40. Let me just start that one over. Adonai Mitchell runs a 4.39 40. We never saw that on his tape. I never knew he had that in him at all. And I was like watching clips from Jetpack Galileo, and he's like, here it is. Here's him at 4 speed as a true freshman. And that's where I saw the speed. And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he kind of had that late. I saw that clip too. Like, he had the late gear on the route. Where he was running off out to the corner, like kind of did like an inside, then whipped to the outside. Like, he kind of, he killed him by lulling him to sleep a little bit there. But I mean, yeah, that's the biggest problem with his profile. It's like, when I watch this tape, I mean, we talked about it last week and I feel like an idiot for even saying it now, but I was like, I'm just watching Adonai Mitchell. I'm not calling him somebody who's going to tank the combine or anything, but I'm just eager to see what he actually tests like, because when you watch him on tape, like he looked lethargic kind of sometimes, uninterested in what he was doing sometimes. And it's like, there was a quote even at this combine where he goes, yeah, I don't even run my routes at full speed all game. He's like, I don't. He's like,
yes, so he did conserve energy or something stupid.
Yeah, like to conserve energy so I can run the whole thing. And it's like, that's so weird. And it's like, there's things where they say, oh, I know I'm not an option on a route, so I'm not going to run at full speed. I'm going to save my energy for the next route. It's like, I don't know. There's parts of that bother me a little bit when I'm thinking about it. But it also makes sense that why I'm seeing what I'm seeing on the tape, like, that does actually line up. Like, there's no way in hell I saw 4.35 speed. There just isn't.
There's been inconsistencies in his game too. And when I saw, again, I'm going to credit Jetpack Kelly for this. When Jetpack Kelly came out and was like, he's just lazy and showed us clips of him just not trying, I was like, that's what it is. That's the inconsistencies. He just doesn't want to try all the time.
Yeah. He's so another George Pickens, I guess. I don't know, in that sense. A bit skinnier and faster. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still skeptical about him. And I mean, I got a lot of pushback on, because I was kind of liking a lot of tweets that were pointing out like some other guys who tested really well and did. So actually, I'm like, Todd, a friend of the show and a friend of CTC, he was kind of coming at me like, you know, but you're not an AD Mitchell fan. It's like, no, I just didn't see that. He does not have top five wide receiver tape to me. He came in at like wide receiver 8 or 9 for me after my initial initial grading. So I was like kind of lower on him already. And yeah, he's going to bump up a little bit because of the athletic testing, because I gave him like a lot lower marks for the athleticism part of his grading sheet. But yeah, just like he's going to be one of the most polarizing guys because, and not only that, like going on to further into his combine, if anybody stayed by to watch the drills, he did not do exceptionally well in the drills. Like he was having to rerun drills. He was just not like, he didn't look very good. He looked kind of sloppy. Like, and this is kind of the player that we see, a very inconsistent player.
Yeah. I wonder, like, obviously we'll never get to see behind the curtains for interviews, but I do wonder if like work ethic is going to be like something that like NFL teams like markdowns and like a negative for him, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, and Corey highlighted down there. He had to repeat a lot of drills, get stuff over. Like, he had to redo a lot of stuff afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, clearly a lot more upside than even we gave him credit for with that kind of athletic testing. But, like, he's got to show it more, man. I don't know if any NFL coach is going to be happy with you not running routes full speed when it gets to the next level.
He graded out for me as wide receiver 8, by the way. I moved him in front of Keon after the combine.
Like after the – where did you have him originally?
9. Yeah, I don't really move him too much. Bump him up, yeah. Not much movement. Yeah. But then the 3 behind them, which I don't know. These are my draft grades, but Ricky, Ladd, and like Roman, like I could see all 3 of those guys getting over him once the NFL draft comes through.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that I think is going to bump him is because I do have a spot for like expected draft capital, and now I think that just went up. Like to me, yeah. Where like I pictured him as more of a second, third. I think now he might even be teetering with the back of a first, which is just going to, I have to include that a little bit into his profile. So he's going to bump up a little bit for me. I think he might, when I was looking at things, I could see him hopping as high as Jalen McMillan, where Jalen McMillan is now. So probably like wide receiver 6-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Maybe. We'll see. So I'm forecasting.
I got Jalen at, oh my gosh, at 7.
Yeah.
So going into the stock downs here, we just talked about Adonai Mitchell here. Troy Franklin, too, his gauntlet was just kind of like so zigzagging, dude.
I don't know what was that. I do think like the whole having a bad combine is overblown because like 4.4, 140, I know he's skinny. So, I mean, like maybe some people expect a little bit faster than that, but 39-inch vert too, like right around there, sub-7-second 3-cone. So he's showing a little bit of that lateral movement as well.
The athletic testing was good.
Yeah,
it was good. It was kind of, I think it probably hit expectations. You were probably hoping a little bit better, but for the most part, hit expectations.
And yeah, then it was just the drills.
And then the drills were like, we were hoping for more. And the zigzagging across the line, I think that's because he's a linear player that doesn't like to go across the middle.
Okay. Well, back up from the microphone there, but I get the point you're trying to make.
I'm just saying, he's a linear player. I just feel like he proved it out there. Like, all right, this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. If he was a straight line player, he wouldn't be weaving all over the place. He would have just been straight line catching those balls. But no, I don't know.
He's sideways on the field, so he's a little all skewed. He's like, where's my hash mark? I don't know how to run without this hash mark.
We have talked about, at least when we did his profile, we talked about his inconsistent hands. That's probably the biggest thing for me on his profile that I don't like is that he does have inconsistent. And his hands came in like, what, like 8-inch something? Like, so very small hands as well. And maybe that's part of the reasons he doesn't have those big mitts like Jalen McMillan at the 10 inches that he can really, you know, snatch onto the ball or whatever. But like, that's probably the biggest thing, I think. And then you even saw like a little bit, I think there was even a couple drills where he maybe double caught it a little bit, kind of knocked it into his hand and caught it. So I think like the hands are maybe one thing that I'm more concerned about than I was. And that's why I'm saying like, I could even see myself putting, well, now, because Troy Franklin was my wide receiver 4, I could see myself putting Worthy because now they share to me in a sense the same negative part where I kind of thought Troy Franklin maybe showed some better hands at times, at least in that 2022 season. But this past year, like, yeah, definitely raised questions. And now even seeing him here kind of in shorts raised some questions too. I just don't want to put too much on it. So okay. I think he's still going to stay in that tier.
I think me and you talked about him as a potential late first rounder. Do you still feel that holds?
Early day 2. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I always thought back of the first was always like a hope. You know what I mean? Like, even in mock drafts, he was like the number 32 and everything. So I don't think it's that crazy to still say, like.
Do you have the hope, though, is what I'm trying to say? Do you still have the hope, or is that hope diminished a little bit?
Let me ask me again in like a week. Let me calm down from the combine first and let me just see. Right now, if you were to ask me, no, I'd picture him as more like a second day guy.
Okay. Really, yeah. I have him as a top 50 grade, and then I was loitering in the late first. Now I think I'm just solidified top 50.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Keon Coleman came out here running like a 4.64.
Oh my man. 4.61 officially.
Before 6-1. Okay. I didn't see that happening at all. That kind of blindsided me. I did not expect that out of Keon. And then the worst part, dude, was that he tried to make it up during the gauntlet. Did you see that? Where they're like, oh, he ran the fastest miles per hour during the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And then once he got to the sideline, he took him way too long to throttle down. Like he like
he was like way out of bounds. Like, yeah, I do remember.
Not even just a little bit, but like way out. Yeah, it was like, all right, you're trying to make it up and trying to make it up in the show when his stop start speed's not that great.
Yeah, so yeah, no, I agree with you there. And I mean, I think he did hit the highest mile per hour time overall for like all the activities, which I mean, a lot of people are going to try to hang their hat on that because that was the same for like Puka Nacua last year, I believe, was the guy who actually had the highest mile per hour last year. So people are going to be like, there's the connection. There's, you know what I mean? So yeah, but it was disappointing because I thought even at worst, he was going to be like a 4.55 guy. You know what I mean? So 4.61, 4.64 in the first run, I believe, was what was much over than what I expected for him. So he did test well in the explosion drills a little bit, and the vertical, like 38-inch vertical, 10-inch or 10'7" broad. So there is that springiness there to go above the rim. So that's part of his game. But yeah, just lining up as a slower possession wide receiver at the next level.
Yeah, I still think he's an outside guy. Yeah, anyway, he's just your traditional X, but he's not, I guess, a special athlete the way that
some people would slower Mike Williams.
That knows how to land. At least he knows how to fall on his feet.
Yeah.
Javon Baker here. There was a really steady drumbeat for Javon Baker this offseason, which was really weird to me. But he comes out and he runs, I'm trying to find it. He runs what, a 4.54?
4.54.
The fourth slowest time everyone that ran this weekend. And that was one of the things that everyone were always talking about. Like this field stretcher, he has a speed for UCF. That was a surprise for me. Same as Keon Coleman. I didn't see him coming out running that slow. If I had, we didn't do it for our betting, but if I had to set a line for him, I would have probably put like a 4.48, 4.47.
Yeah. And then like, I'm like even looking at like his profile or whatever, like 37-inch jump, 10'1" broad, so just barely over the 10-foot mark, which you'd like to maybe see a little more springiness from. But they give him an NFL comparison to Josh Palmer. And I was like, man, that actually lines up really good. Like, I could see him being like a Josh Palmer, like someone who floats around on a roster as like a wide receiver 4 and maybe could get some starting opportunities and look good down the field, like kind of like he does. Like, there's like 4.54 is not bad. It's just like way more average than like your and way more around average for your NFL type athletes. Like it's not going to wow anybody. Like everything he did didn't wow anywhere. So he just kind of came in as like a very average athlete, I think.
Yeah. My comp before this was like Trey Palmer. I thought he was a really raw athlete and that's not
even close to that speed. Yeah.
No. Going to the running backs here, two big ones here, Bucky Irving for me, coming in at what, 5'9", 192. So undersized, which like new NFL, so that's okay. It's not the end all be all, but then comes in as like a subpar athlete along with his size, like a 4.56. That's a very hard pass for me. I think he lost a lot of money. I always think every single year I like undervalue one change of pace running back. And in my head, I was thinking like, I'm probably undervaluing Bucky Irving at this athletic testing. And I'm like, dumb overvaluing. I think he's like a mid day three guy, like best case scenario now.
I think he's going to plummet for me in my grades. I was surprised when I even looked at yours that he was still remained where he did. I have a feeling he's going to plummet for me because I gave him much better marks as an athlete than this because I still did see some. And I'm actually surprised that he didn't do the 3-cone or 20-yard shuttle. Like maybe he was just so depressed from the day before damage was done. He just couldn't fix it. But he would have, I thought that was the one area he could have brought back his profile a little bit. Like Blake Corum is another guy. I put in honorable mentions, like we can just talk about him here or whatever, but he didn't have like the greatest day, but the way he tested in like the 3-cone and stuff brought it back a little bit, you know, like he was like a sub 7-second 3-cone or something like that. He tested okay in the shuttle drills. Like he brought himself back a little bit that way. I thought that could have been the path for Bucky Irving to do that as well. But instead he's going to rest himself on a sub 30-inch vertical vert, a sub 10-foot broad jump. And a 4.55, like that's just brutal marks for this guy. Like, I mean, some guy like I don't know. Like for us personally, we already had him low, but he's gonna drop even lower than this.
Did Blake do the broad jump?
I'm not sure. Let's take a look.
I think he did. Did he even do the vertical?
35.5-inch vertical. He did not do a broad jump, 3.82 second 3-cone, which is actually very good. That's actually a pretty good 3-cone. Oh, but again, a guy that came in undersized though as well, because people were saying he's 215, 219. He came in at 205. So he maximized, I think, his level of athleticism for this event and still only came out with like these numbers. So, You know what I mean? Like, it's still just a very, like, I still think it lines up with what we think about him. Like, he's still.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought he was 5'6". I don't feel like I can speak bad about
his. Yeah. Yeah.
Right now at the moment. The worst vertical. Do you know who that was? Just guess without looking. Who had the worst vertical of the round?
I don't know. Bucky Irving.
That's correct. Dude, Bucky Irving.
It? Yeah. It had to be. Yeah.
You can't, you cannot show up to the NFL being undersized and then like being a very subpar athlete. Like I do think size going away is like being a thing, but I still think like those guys tend to have to be something special. I think he just proved the exact opposite.
And especially a smaller guy, like you expect those guys to be a little bit springy. Like Braylon Allen was pretty low too, but it's like that's a lot of weight you're trying to jump up. Like it's more understandable when you don't have like that crazy of a vert. Where it's like Bucky Irving, like you almost expect at least like freaking 35 something.
Yeah, I see his crowd comping him to Deion Lewis now. I see that.
Yeah, so we've gone from Devin Singletary. Well, Devin Singletary didn't test that well either. So I mean, that's kind of in the spectrum too, I guess. If you want to be optimistic about
it. Yeah. Let's get over to Audric Estime here. I think he was like the RB2 for Mel Kiper at some point in time. Anyway, he comes up here to the 40. Runs the slowest. I think it's slowest. Let me scroll all the way to the bottom. 4.7 140. Yeah, it was the slowest. We talked about it before. He doesn't have a really good first step on his runs. He's a build-up speed runner. I still thought the 4.7 was way lower than expected. Like, I really thought he was going to run, like, I thought he was going to be faster than Roshan Johnson. That we talked about earlier in the show. I thought he would have run, like, a mid 4.55, which would have been a very fine time. But 4.7 1?
Yeah, I thought he got better speed once he got a head of steam going a little bit. But it's so hard to tell in college sometimes. It really is. I mean, Notre Dame running backs constantly underperforming at the combine, I guess, now. Kyren Williams and now Audric Estime. They don't maximize their potential over there. Maybe maximize strength. And, like, he did make up for it in the explosion, like vertical jump, 38 inches, broad jump, 10.5. But, like, that to us, like, that we relate those things kind of to, like, a burst. Like a ability to get off the ball, ability to change direction and stuff like that. And he doesn't show any of that on tape. So it's like, what do I even do with this vertical testing? And now you don't even have the speed that I thought that you might have. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I definitely thought he'd be like on your slower end, but like, I don't know. This testing just doesn't even line up with who he is on tape. Maybe I got to go back and take a look. Maybe he is a little bit better off the ball than I gave him credit for and got to put a little bit more burst in his grade or whatever. But long speed's coming down next time I grade this guy.
Yeah, for sure. His NFL comparison by Lance Zierlein's Jamal Williams, by the way.
Jamal Williams. That's not terrible.
No, it's not. JJ McCarthy's stock down. I put that down. Did you agree with that statement? I think that's a little bit of a debated topic on Twitter right now.
I probably don't, but I'm also a JJ optimist. So I don't think it was that much. And then, you know, like people want to point to like the deep ball and stuff. Like if that's what you're talking about, during
can't throw to the left either. Can't throw to the left.
He missed a couple passes on the corner route. He overthrew a guy. But again, I also think that's part of JJ McCarthy's profiles, where like he wasn't a high volume passer. So like he's going to have kinks to work out, especially with guys that he doesn't have any chemistry with. So I think a lot of those parts are going to need things that need to be figured out the next level. And then even the deep ball, like he goes from like overthrowing the guy, which. I mean, and they just loved him on the broadcast. They were like, oh, but he's showing off his arm strength. He just wants to show off his arm strength. Like, well, like, and he did a little bit. But then it's like the last throw he goes, like Daniel Jeremiah was like, that was perfect. Like, that's like the best deep throw that we've had today. It was like perfectly on the money, perfectly in stride. Guy didn't have to slow down. So it's like, you still see the flashes. I think he tested exactly how you expect JJ McCarthy to be. And I will say, the part that I think he won at is coming in at 219 pounds.
Okay.
Still running a sub-7 second 3 cone. So like to me, like this weight gain was not just for the combine. I have a feeling that, you know, he had his original weight coming into the year. He slowly put on this weight throughout the year because he carried it very well. And he looked very comfortable at that weight. So I think that this is something he's added slowly throughout the year. And he looked rocked up. Like he didn't look like belly fat or anything like that. Like he looked fairly well built. So I think that in some instances a stock up and probably not, probably just level. I think he was just fine. Okay.
Yeah. I think he's level for us. I think he should be a stock down for the public. I think he's a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Have you even seen people pumping him up as a top 3 pick now? After
well, apparently those are the rumors. Like, I mean, what's his name?
Bucky. Dude, that's the biggest smoke I've seen since Malik Willis being a first round pick. That's like, I wonder what the Patriots have to be starting that. They have to be like starting that. They're like, yeah, we want Drake May at number 3. Let's get the community.
And that's – And that scares me for sure, because they always prop up these guys that don't deserve to be propped up, and it's just like, that scares me.
It's going to suck, though, if this is like a Will Levis situation where they invite him to the combine just to not get picked. That would be – they got to stop doing that type of stuff.
I hope it's not that. I'm just trying to come to grips with him becoming a Viking, because that's lining up more and more and more nowadays.
I don't – like, we've talked about it, and so just to quadruple down on it, he needs to sit, and I would be very much in on that if he just sits. Yeah. I don't know about spending that draft capital for him, but he just needs to sit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we would say the same thing about Jordan Love, about spending that kind of capital on Jordan Love, but he sat, and he looked pretty damn good in his first year starting. Like, so, I mean, sitting can do a world of wonders for these type of guys.
I honestly did not watch any Michael Penix skill drills.
Okay, I will just say I put his name here because, I mean, people want to talk about J.J. McCarthy, and I thought Michael Penix looked even more awful. Like, there was, like, the trajectory on his passes, dude. Like, he wasn't giving a good ball for these wide receivers to show, like, their extension outside their frame. He's putting it almost, like, right on their chest, like, abdomen area. Like, not even, like, the high point. And that was one of the things that I always told – we've always talked about Penix, and was it some of his ball placement issues. And I don't know. You saw it here. Like, maybe with the guys he lacked chemistry with a little bit. Like, his fade routes were almost completely out of the end zone. Like, guys couldn't even, like, make a play on it. His deep balls were, like, too far to the inside. He wasn't giving them enough air to the outside. Like, and guys were trying to adjust to the inside to grab it. Like, I just felt like he wasn't delivering good balls all day for these guys. And, like, some of the shorter stuff he actually looked a little bit better on, but just a lack of touch, a lack of overall touch from Michael Penix.
It wasn't like a lack of chemistry with wide receivers. It was lack of
touch. Like to me, it was lack of touch, like where the ball was being placed and like the trajectory of it. Like, yeah, it was low for me. It was weird.
The last note here I put was any power back that ran a 4.6 plus. So any like.
Yeah.
Outside, like Dylan Johnson.
Dylan Johnson.
Kendall Milton at 4.62. Cody Schrader at 4.61.
Yeah. You're,
and Amani Bailey is not even a true power back, but running a 4.61 at 5'7" is also.
You're so mean to Kendall Milton.
Whatever.
You have him like graded like second your second bottom. Lowest running back.
Yeah.
Best contact bounce in the class.
Let me see what I put his contact. Yeah, actually that's his best score.
Yeah.
That's his best score. Again.
Like, I'm giving him like top grades in that just because I want him to get some love in my rankings. Like, he's going to get like top.
I put him a 3.5 out of 5. That's his best category.
Oh, he's going to be a 5 for me.
Get out of here.
He's going to be a 5.
His hands and his receipt, whatever. I didn't know, like, it's not what the show's about. This show's about the
I did just put Brandon Rice as well. And I just wanted to speak on it because he was somebody that I thought, maybe even you thought as well, that would come in a lot more athletic than he did. And he did not test at, like, even close to how I thought he would test. Like, he did not look good. What did he hit in the vertical? It was like, I'm pulling it up right now, but it was fairly low. Like I think he ran sub 10 broad.
36.5,
which is okay. I mean, Jalen McMillan jumped higher than this guy. And then 4.5 40, which I thought maybe he could be like a 4.445 guy, something like that, 4.43 even. And then even Daniel Jeremiah, after he ran, was like, oh, he can run faster than that. He can run fast. He'll do better on his next run. And then he just didn't. So he came in just a lot less athletic than I thought he was, I think.
The memes, I don't know, memes, the engagements that have been going around Twitter about the bench press. Have you seen it? How many benches could you do at 225 pounds?
No, I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that all over the place? I've seen it all over the place. And I haven't like responded to anyone on that. But back when I was like training to be part of a special unit for the military, I hit 17. And I'm seeing these dudes like Brandon Rice did a 13. I'm like, yo.
You could have
thanks, son.
Yeah,
I could press him up.
shit. Oh, excuse me. I've never been like a crazy like weight room guy. Like, I work out and I'll go to the gym, but I'm never like testing my limits or anything like that. So I've never even like put 225 on a rack and tried it, to be honest with you.
I don't try to go too high anymore, especially at my age. Well, I'm not old, but I'm 30 and I'm married. I'm not trying to impress.
Yeah, don't try to impress anybody else.
I just want to keep my current shape.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask this question. I actually didn't put any answers myself, but guys that we thought were viewed as disappointing, but we thought had a fine performance. Like, I kind of like wrote this because I saw someone write something negative about Worthy. They pretty much post. I think someone posted, like, if Worthy doesn't run a 4.3, then he's a bust. And I was just like, he ran a 4.2, so it worked out in the end. But
yeah.
Was there that was somewhat what, that?
Well, no, I was just going to say that was somewhat what I was talking about, how he came in so undersized. And, like, it was such a whirlwind where people were like, oh, my God, he's so small. Like, we were hoping he's going to come in 170, whatever. And then he balanced it out by the test. So that's why I had trouble with him as a riser. But bad is definitely a way out there. He definitely didn't have a bad combine. For me personally, I would say J.J. McCarthy, which I just went over. I don't have to go over that again. People, you know, it's a little bit all over the place. Some people say he had a fine. Some people are saying he had a bad performance. I thought it was fine. I thought it was exactly what I expected from him, maybe even better in some instances. And then for me, like, yeah, Troy Franklin a little bit, maybe. Or at least I'm not so put down by everything he showed. Like, I'm willing to look at, like, the 3 years of film before I worry about him weaving through a gauntlet combine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not super concerned about that for me personally.
Yeah. Okay. Both fair answers there.
What about you? Nobody?
No, I really didn't have anyone. I couldn't think of anyone. You know how much I hate the combine. So it's been on my mind the whole time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I added this last question then to wrap up this whole thing. Who do you think has been your biggest mover? Maybe even one or two names or whatever through this whole thing because of their combine testing.
Isaiah Grindo, I thought, was a UDFA. So that's pretty much an easy answer.
He's on my list too, just because he wasn't even on the radar. So you have to give him some love for that.
The biggest movers as, like, losers on my list have been Bucky Irving and Audric Estime. They've been my biggest, like, stock downs. I think Dylan Wright was also a stock up for me in the end. So those are the
Irving biggest. Only dropped like two spots for you though.
Who?
In your grades.
Talking about Irving?
Yeah. Did he only drop like two spots? He was six. He went down to like eight for you or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But like his score went down substantially. Yeah.
You need to drop him more.
Okay, I don't know who I'm going to put in front of him.
It's true. So I agree with you on those two. Grendo and Irving were my running backs. And then for me personally, I put Adonai is going to climb a few spots. But again, he's more in like that upper tier. So the spot climbing isn't that much. But Ricky Pearsall for me, I know he was already a little bit higher for you. Going to make me want to go deeper in him and look at him a little more. He's definitely going to come inside my top 12 this time. Like, I don't know how he got graded there, but definitely going to take a closer look at that. And then Brendan Rice, he graded out as like a top 15 guy for me. I wonder if he'll drop a little bit more once I take away some of the athletic testing for him. Because I think the foundation of his grading was built on being an athletic, more athletic than that, and having those tools to play around with the next level. And I just don't know if he has the same tools I thought he did. So I wouldn't be surprised if he drops for me as well.
I do want to say this. I didn't move him, but we haven't talked about him this episode. I felt like we had to talk about him just briefly. Johnny Wilson running a 4.52 at his height/size.
Biggest landmine on your upcoming rookie drafts, I'm telling you.
But still super impressive. And if he did, like, this offseason was like, yeah, I'm going to be a tight end in the NFL.
I've been telling you that for years.
No. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. But if he did that, he would have been like the top percentile most athletic tight end of all time if you test it out.
I've been telling you for years that he's actually really athletic. His hands just don't work. But yes, his best path at NFL relevance is the Darren Waller path. Like, that's where I think it lines up for him.
No one's talking about him though, like post combine. I'm not even a Johnny Wilson fan, but I felt like his fan base that he had before
I've seen some tweets out there a little bit. Yeah, they're definitely loving them. Biggest wingspan at the combine, I think, or biggest wingspan in like the last decade or something like that. Like, something.
He's 6'6". I think he should beat that. I don't know.
He was actually at one point, because I actually drafted him a lot of places in like CGC drafts and whatever, like we're late in drafts. He was at one point the number one wide receiver in his recruiting class, like before the recruiting class, like it was his year. Leading up to it or whatever, like he spent time as a number one. He spent time as like a top five, and then he slowly kind of dropped a little bit. But yeah, I mean, recruiting loved him. It's all the athletic tools that he has, and all the traits he has, but he just hasn't been able to put it together as an actual receiver.
I'm trying to look at my wide receivers to see which one's my biggest movers. Worthy was on the edge of my, like, he was a top 50 grade for me. He was like an early second round grade. Couldn't get him a score above to get like to round one. He finally got to a round one grade for me now. So
yeah.
And I was trying to see what's holding him back from being close to Rumo Dunze, like, honestly. And then I remembered his score I put for his hands in at the catch point.
Yeah. So. I mean, Romo Dunze is just such a monster at the catch point. Like, I just, like, he's going to succeed there early on. He has enough athleticism to operate beyond that. So I really do picture him, like, I think there's going to be, it's going to be a pretty substantial drop from Odunze to Wordy. I think, like, in my grades, I think we have a different scale, but like Odunze was like somewhere around a 0.78 and Wordy came in around a 0.73. So there was quite a bit of difference there already. And I can't imagine me moving either of them very much.
Got you. Yeah. So, Keon dropped. Yeah, sorry. There wasn't a lot of movement on my wide receiver side. Just wasn't. Yeah. I think a lot of it kind of hit my expectations of what I thought. Yeah, Keon went down one. Yeah, not a lot of movement here for me. That wraps it up, Corey.
I think so.
That's it, guys. Check in with us next week. We don't know what we're doing yet. I'll let you know later. From Corey, from Mike, good night, and good luck.